Romans chapter 12. We'll continue our study in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12, verse 17. As we look at God's instructions, how to apply righteousness. God is righteous, we're not. God gives us instructions about how to be real, genuine, authentic Christians in our walk and our service to Him and our spiritual service of worship. We pick it up in verse 17 this morning. Would you stand with me, please, as we read God's Word? We'll start at the beginning of the paragraph, verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. The luxury, the privilege, the honor of having the very words of God in our hands. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for the many lives that were lost in order to get it in a language that we can read. Father, we thank you for the love that you have for us that allows us to be here together, fellowship with one another, to study your word, to worship you in a way that's pleasing to you. Father, I ask that you would teach us, that your spirit will convict us, mold us and shape us, transform us to the image of Christ. Father, this is your time. We are your people, and we love you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. In 1961, Philip Knight, after graduating from business school at Stanford University, went on a little pleasure trip to Japan, having fun in Japan. In Japan, came across a shoe company. I can't pronounce the name. Onitsuka Tiger Company. And upon remembering his days at the University of Oregon as a member of the track team and his conversations with his track coach about competitive, comfortable shoes, out of curiosity, he went and visited this shoe manufacturer, Onitsuka Tiger Company. And man, those guys were very hospitable. Invited him in, showed him around, sat down, had some meetings with him. And on the spot, Philip said, man, I bet I could sell some of these shoes in America. And upon further conversation, they were going to get a shipment put together and shipped to America. They asked Philip, well, what's the name of your company? He didn't have a company. So he made one up. He said, well, the name of my company is Blue Ribbon Shoe Company. So he finished having his fun in Japan, went back to America, and along comes 200 pairs of shoes, and he sells them out of the trunk of his car. About a year later, with a $500 investment from his friend and former coach from the University of Oregon, they actually make the Blue Ribbon Shoe Company official. Then in 1971, he goes to a friend of his in college, to design a logo that would fit on the side of an athletic shoe. And the trademark swoosh was designed. And the company that we now know as Nike was started. And you know the rest of the story. Nike, right? Tell me, kids, what do I know? It's Nike. The shoe for victors, for victory, to be victorious. So I was named Nike. So it is with our text this morning. God talks about having victory. So often in the Christian life, we hear about having a victorious Christian life. The text this morning talks about victory. We hear about victory over sin and addictions and things like that. That's not what our text is about. The text this morning is about victory over evil, a more specific, evil persons. Evil happens, doesn't it? We live in a depraved, perverted, evil world. And as born again, true born again Christians, and if we're living as born again Christians, you'll experience some evil. Some form or fashion, some degree, you'll have some enemies if you're living as a biblical born again Christian. There will be evildoers, enemies. The question this morning is, how do we respond? How do we react to the evildoers, to those enemies we have, regardless of what degree they are? How do we respond? We have a choice. Our response, our reactions to evil, to evildoers, to enemies, is always a choice. And like the rest of life, choices have consequences. So let's look at our text. Let's look at the choices, the consequences with regard to our enemies. Verse 17. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. It's pretty straightforward, isn't it? I love it when Scripture is direct. I don't care how you slice it, how you dive in and investigate the Greek. It is what it is. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Don't do it. Don't pay back evil for evil. That's not our natural response, so is it? When someone does something wrong to you, when you're wrong, or I think they call it being disrespected sometimes. I'm sure there's other slang that I am clueless about. When someone does something wrong to you, your enemy does some sort of evil to you, what's our natural response? Man, we want to fight back, don't we? Payback is what we like to do. Our natural response. Fight back, retaliate. Give them a little dose of their own medicine. You ever feel like that? I know I'm not the only one. But as we've been saying, as we try to look at God's instructions and applying righteousness and being genuine, real Christians, we understand that often in life, we cannot rely on our natural tendencies, our natural responses, our natural desires. We, as born-again believers, have the privilege of having the Spirit of God indwelling inside of us, the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit. Empowers me. When I want to slap somebody in retaliation, I don't have to, do I? I have the choice not to do that. I have the power not to pay back evil for evil because of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of me. Power that enables me and us, as stated back up in verse 14, not to curse those who persecute us. Power inside of us that enables us to actually bless those who persecute us. And now Paul tells us, God tells us, not to pay back evil for evil. As we allow God's Holy Spirit to control us, we have power. Power to choose correctly. Do not, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. What about the next sentence? Respect what is right in the sight of all men. What does that mean? May not be quite as clear as don't pay back evil for evil. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. Let's break it down a bit. We'll start with the end of the sentence first. First of all men means all men. Straight up. Next, inside of. Inside of literally means in the face of, in the presence of. All men, in the presence of, in the sight of all men. It means you're there, face to face, in the sight of all men. And then what do we have as we move our way forward to the sentence, beginning of the sentence? What is right? What is right? Literally means good. Morally good and upright. That which is good. The same word translated dozens of times in Scripture as good deeds, good work, good fruit. It's good. Morally good. But lastly, or firstly in the sentence, respect. That's not as clear. You look at the original Greek with respect. The term is a compound term, pronoeo, pronoeo. Compound word, pro means before. Noeo means to think in order to provide. So it's a little fuzzy in the NASB when it says respect. King James actually says, provide things honest instead of respect what is good. What is good. The point is to think ahead. Literally, to think ahead of time in order to provide something. So we put it all together, and the idea is to be a proactive thinker in order to do that which is good. In the face of, in the presence of all men. You with me? Think ahead. It's acting, not just reacting. There's a difference. Prior proper planning prevents poor performance. Think in advance. Man, if someone does something evil to me, something hurtful, my natural response is to fight back. Hurt back. My supernatural response to the power of God that lives inside of me, I cannot do that. I can hold back, throttle back. But God expects us to do more than that. God expects us to think ahead of time, to plan ahead of time, to mentally get prepared for that situation. Athletes do that. They mentally get prepared for situations they will encounter. They plan ahead. They watch game films, don't they? That's why a quarterback can read defenses of his particular team, and when a team makes a shift or a different formation, you may have saw last night, a good, smart quarterback will also know how to counter that. If they do this, I'm going to do that. I'm going to act. I'm not going to just react. Play it by ear. Same in business, negotiations. You plan ahead. You have a business meeting, you plan ahead. Negotiating, you're going to plan ahead. Think ahead. They do this, this is the best counter. They make this statement, this is the best way to go. In engineering, you do the same thing. You look at a problem. You don't just wing it. Engineers would make flow charts, actually. Little diagrams. If this, then that. Right? Proactive thinking. That's what God expects us to do as we interact with people, especially our enemies of varying degrees. Think ahead. Determine ahead of time to do good. Predetermine to do good, even when they do evil. So that you're not caught in the emotion of the event and start naturally reacting with fighting back. Make sense? Predetermined to do good. Act, don't react. The same it is with us, just like God tells us. Naturally, we're reactionary people. So instruction number one for us today from our text, don't fight back. Don't pay back evil with evil. Predetermined to do good. What else? Verse 17, verse 18. Be at peace with all men. That's a tall order, isn't it? I mean, it's one thing, Chip, just to shut my mouth, keep my slap happy hand in my pocket instead of on my enemy's face. It's one thing just to hold back. It's another one to be at peace with all men. Is that possible? Let's look at the text. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, be at peace with all men. Peace is a two-way street. Peace is a two-way street. Sometimes some people disturb the peace for no reason at all. Unprovoked, on their own initiative, they disturb the peace. They may disturb your peace. They may get in your face and be your enemy. It's a two-way street. God's telling us to do our part. Look at the text. If possible. God knows it's not possible at all times in every situation to be at peace. As far as it depends on the other person, as long as they're treating you right, be at peace. Is that what Scripture says? As far as it depends on you. Chip, do your part. If at all possible, Chip, without compromising God's word, God's truth, God's principles, you live at peace with everybody. You do your part. We do our part. Even in the face of our enemies, we worry about our side of the peace street. Sometimes peace is disrupted. You know what that means? Our side of the peace street, as far as possible with us, it means letting go of some grudges sometimes, some bitterness, even some hurt, some pain. Man, for the folks out in the world, the pagans, the non-Christians, we might have an enemy or two. We might get hurt. We might get our feelings hurt. We might get hard time, ridiculed, left out, physically persecuted, maybe. Not a lot here. Neighborhoods, co-workers, even in church, could that happen? Absolutely. And if we are going to live at peace, as far as it depends upon us, if possible, with all men, it means letting go of some bitterness, some hurt, some pain. It means wholehearted forgiveness. Easier said than done, isn't it? It's hard to forgive those who hurt you. It's hard to forgive those who hurt you on purpose. It's hard to forgive those who hurt you on purpose and don't care and aren't sorry for it. Instruction number two. If you can, if at all possible, at least do your part to be at peace with everyone. It's tough. Easier said than done, but that's God's expectations for us as we serve him. Verse 19, never take your own revenge, beloved. No revenge. A little reiteration here, isn't it? God wants to emphasize this part. After he just gets through telling us to do what we can to be at peace with people. No revenge. Never take your own revenge. In case you didn't get it in verse 17, don't pay back evil with evil. Revenge is not your job. Don't seek it. Don't take revenge. God wants us to choose to respond to evil or our enemies in an unnatural way. Man, we want to take revenge, don't we? When you are wronged, our natural response is to wrong back. We want justice. We want to right the wrong. We want to be vindicated, don't we? We want to teach somebody a lesson. We want to put them in their place. We want to settle the score. You ever been in that situation? Natural response. This is important to God. That's why he's emphasizing it. Don't do it. Don't take revenge. We may want revenge. Man, we may want to settle the score. Give them a little dose of their own medicine. But what does God want? What does God want us to do? Instead of revenge, look at our text. Here's what God wants us to do. He knows we need help in this area. Never take your own revenge, beloved. That's me and you. But leave room for the wrath of God. Leave room. Leave room for the wrath of God. Let God deal with it. This is a control issue. God's in charge. God is sovereign. Sometimes we want to take the law in our own hands, don't we? You just had it up to here with somebody. God's the sheriff in town. We're not. We're not supposed to take the law in our own hands. We may want to. Instead, we let God handle it. Instead, we demonstrate the authority of God over us, and we yield. We hold back. We act instead of react, and we leave room for God to take care of it. Why leave it in God's hands? Let's keep reading. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written. Where is it written? Deuteronomy 32, 35, the Mosaic Law. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. We let God handle the revenge. You know why? It's his job, not our job. You want to be avenged, exonerated with your enemies, with those who give you a hard time? Demonstrate God's control over your life. And leave room for God to take care of it. That's instruction number 3. Let God handle it. Man, listen, I've been there. We all go through it. Something happens, and our natural response is to rear up and fight back. God says, don't be only natural. You have the Spirit of God living inside of you. Let me handle it. Let God take care of it. What else do we do? Look at verse 20. This is what we do. Instead of paying back evil for evil, as we think ahead of time to act instead of react, As we predetermine to do good in the sight of all men, here it is, here's the good, here's the predetermined action, the predetermined good that God wants us to do. Paul quotes Proverbs 25, 22. Verse 20 here, Romans 12, but if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. All right, man, I'm not sure I understand this. Okay, I can throttle back, I can hold back, I can let God be in control. I can let God take the revenge, but now he's asking me to feed them when they're hungry, give them something to drink when they're thirsty, to care for them. What is that all about? Why does God want us to do that? The biblical response to our enemies, to evildoers, to evil, is to love them in return. That ain't natural, is it? Not one bit. To care for them, to be nice to them, to demonstrate love to them in return. Someone harms you and you do good back. It's the opposite of revenge, isn't it? Paying back evil with good. That is opposite as it can get. Pay back evil with good, with kindness, with love. That's instruction number four. That's the expectations God has for us as we grow in our faith, as we apply righteousness, as we live a genuine, real Christian life. Pay back evil with good, with kindness, with love. Can't do that naturally, can you? You have to yield to the Holy Spirit inside of you. You have to choose. That's why God says to think ahead, to prepare ahead of time, to plan ahead. It's got to be deliberate, because if I wait till it's just a reactionary event for me, odds are it may not be good. It may be paying back evil with evil. I got to predetermine ahead of time to do this. But we can do it because we have the power of the living God inside of us, people. What's the result? The result of this predetermining to do good, this acting instead of reacting. Let's keep reading. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, here you go. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Hallelujah. Now I can do that. All right. I can predetermine it to do good. I can hold back, God, if I just know you're going to zap him. You're going to get him for me, God. Go get him. Is that the motive? Is that what it is? Absolutely not. The reference to shame and remorse. It's an old Arab custom. Someone who is contrite, who's shameful, they used to literally take a pan. You know, you've seen ladies back then, you know, carrying pots of water and stuff on their heads, or men with turban, they would take a towel or a turban, they'd put it on their head so that they could put a literal pan on their head. And then they would pour hot burning coals on that pan and walk around the village, and that was a sign of that, hey, I'm sorry. I regret my actions. I'm remorseful for what I was doing. That's the picture. Sorry. It's not zappage from God. Our love in response to hate, our good in response to bad and evil done to us, it's not so that God can smack them around later. It's so that they can have a softened heart. You with me? This is not for revenge. This is for repentance. to burn the conscience, to soften the heart, to open the eyes, to help your enemy realize his need for a Savior. Because I know the junk that I just shot that person with. I know the evil, the bad, the heartache that I've just unloaded on that person. I expected some of them to fight back. And they responded unnaturally. They're loving me back in return, and I don't know what that's about. I can't figure that out. See, we demonstrate the love of Christ to soften hearts. You want victory over your enemy? It's not revenge. It's repentance that we pray for. It's a converted heart that we want. That's true victory. Not waiting for God to slap him around because you want to slap him around now. Nah, that's love your enemies. It's more than just turning the other cheek. We deliberately predetermine to do good, to act instead of react, so that we can lead our enemies to Christ. Helps me. The motive for predetermined action of good is salvation of the enemy, not destruction. Hear me well. We are here to make disciples. We are here individually to duplicate ourselves spiritually. We are here as a church to make disciples. Know Christ in a real saving way. To disciple them so they can grow and in turn do the same thing and duplicate themselves. That's the motive. That's the result desired by God. Verse 21, victory. Victory over evil. Two things here. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. First, don't be overcome by evil. But in contrast, secondly, overcome evil with good. What does the term overcome mean? It's a Greek term. It's pronounced nike in the Greek. It means conquer, prevail, to have victory over. Nike. That's how it's pronounced in the Greek. You know me in pronunciation. I double checked this at least two or three times. You know how to spell the Greek word for conquer, to have victory over? It's pronounced nike in the Greek. It's spelled in English, N-I-K-E. We pronounce it Nike. It's also a name of a Greek goddess. And it's the reason Philip Knight renamed his company, shoe company, Nike. Victory. This is the victory we have. Nike-type victory. Christianity is not a spectator sport. Predetermined to do good. We win not by fighting our enemies, but by converting them to Christ. That's the difference in Christianity and some other religions. Not conversion by the sword. It's conversion by the demonstration of love. Unnaturally. Man, if we fight back, we pay back evil for evil, we lose. And we're defeated. We're not victorious. We reciprocate evil for evil. Instead, if we're good, kind, loving, that's how we win. That's how we overcome evil. Demonstration of the love of Christ. Let's pray. You know, I don't twist arms. That's not me. This is your time as we go into prayer to respond to God's word. Where are you on this? Have you been acting or reacting? Listen, just because we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us doesn't mean it's automatic. We have to deliberately choose to yield our selfishness and let God control us through His Spirit inside of us. If you haven't been doing that, then I encourage you to come get it right. Confess your sins and start having the victory over evil. Maybe this whole supernatural thing, this whole Holy Spirit indwelling thing, is a new concept to you. You will never have victory over evil without the Holy Spirit. In fact, you'll never have victory over the consequences of your own evil without the Holy Spirit. And you don't get the Holy Spirit unless you repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And I invite you to do that today if you haven't done it. This is your time to respond to God. Let's pray. Father God, we love You. And we're thankful and grateful to You that You love us. Father, we can sit here and think about evil people all day long and bad deeds, and yet we're people too. We do wrong to others ourselves. And You love us anyway. You love us in spite of our filthiness, our imperfections. Father, we thank You for the love You have for us. And I'm grateful, Father, that You do not want us to stay that way. That You want to transform us, to change us from the inside out. You want us to live with the power of Your Spirit. Father, we thank You for the Holy Spirit that indwells in us as believers in Jesus Christ. And I pray that this week that we will tap into that power. Utilize the power that You've given us. Predetermine to do good, even to our enemies, so that they may see the love of Christ, so that Your Spirit can convict them of their sins, so that they too can come to a saving knowledge of You, and they can have victory and peace and experience Your love in a real way. Father, we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.